sang a lullaby, you'd be all that I can desire. Under stars, chilled by the winter, under an August moon burning above, you'd be so nice, like paradise to come home to and love. Sings a lullaby, you are all that I can desire. Under stars, chilled by the winter, under an August moon burning above, you are so nice, like paradise to come home to.
No love, no nothing, till my baby comes home. No sir, no nothing, as long as baby must roam. I promised him I'd wait for him till even Hades froze. I'm lonesome,
good evening, everybody. I'm calling this meeting to order. Welcome to the Planning Commission of Monday, October 28th, 2019. Let's see, and we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next we'll do a roll call of the Planning Commission.
Commissioner Fuller.
Present.
Commissioner Maynard.
Present.
Commissioner Sheeler.
Present.
Vice Chair Miller.
Present.
Chair Smith.
Present. Okay, next is our public forum, and this is a time where any member of the public can speak on an item that is not on tonight's agenda. I don't have any speaker slips. I see no requests for the public, from the public for public forum, so I'll go ahead and close the public forum. Do we have any amendments or adjustments to the agenda?
Madam Chair, we have no amendments or adjustments.
Okay. Next, we'll move into our administrative agenda.
Item A1 is the approval of the Planning Commission's special meeting minutes of the meeting Monday, October 7th, 2019, special meeting.
Are there any comments from commissioners on the meeting minutes? Any edits needed? Commissioner Fuller.
Yeah, I just want to comment. I really liked seeing the link to the video on the agenda at the bottom. So that was, I think that's really, really helpful for our citizens.
Great. Do I have a motion on the minutes?
Move to approve the minutes for the meeting of September 23, 2019.
I'll second.
Oh, wait. Can I just clarify that? The meeting minutes of October 7th?
Sorry about that. Let me revise my motion to say approval of the meeting minutes for October 7th.
And I revise my second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed or abstentions? I see none. Okay, we have our minutes. Next, we'll move into our public hearing agenda.
Item B1 is a public hearing. It's the request by AJR Trucking Incorporated for a determination of similar use under the general commercial general plan, coastal land use plan, and general commercial inland zoning ordinance, case number 1996 DSU APN 073070005, located at 6416 Hollister Avenue.
Okay, before we jump in, I wanted to check in with commissioners to see if we have any site visits or ex parte communications on this item.
I'll go ahead and start. Site visit, no ex parte.
Okay.
No site visit, but I am familiar with the fact that the property's been on the market, as I'm a real estate broker, so I have some understanding of it in that respect.
And I have a site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
This is Katie. So I have gone over, I've been by the site a number of times, but not specifically for this trip, but I do have an ex parte communication. I spoke with Mr. Kyandel from Dudek, who is the agent for the applicant, on the phone this afternoon. I did learn some good information. He clarified for me that there'll be no loading or unloading on the site. This part of the project is done at the post office. They've got a plan for backing in their trucks into the spaces during the day, so when they pull out at the wee hours of the night, that there's less backup beeper near the housing, that they're using cleaner fuel, so won't have as much on-site air pollution. They're parking vehicles that'll leave at the earliest hours of the morning away from the closest residences. Gave me some clarifications about just some of their operations and some of the measures that they're taking to address noise concerns. So that was really helpful to get some sense of that. So that's my ex parte.
Great, thank you. So for our public hearing format, we generally begin with a staff presentation. Following the staff presentation, we can also hear from the applicant. We'll take any public comment. Our public comment period is 3 minutes, and you'll see the little warning lights up front. And then we'll go into Planning Commission deliberation. So we will begin with our staff presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And good evening, commissioners. As indicated, this is a use determination. Just to orient people, the site is located at the northwest corner of this is Arrow Camino and this is Hollister Avenue. The airport is located to the south, and if you're familiar with the Willow Springs complex, it's located directly to the east. And to really orient you, our building is like, here's a tip of our parking lot out there. So it's in close proximity to where we are. So as indicated, this is a request for determination that the trucking business that's proposed is similar to the uses allowed under both the general commercial, general plan land use designation, and the C3 zoning. And as we've mentioned, or is mentioned in the staff report, the zoning section, the inland zoning, does provide a process by which the Planning Commission can determine what other uses might be allowed in the C3 zoning. You know, the C3 zoning, as with our other, most of our other zoning districts, is a list of uses and not necessarily comprehensive, but so there is a process by which to see if other uses under certain conditions could be added. As indicated in the staff report, the purpose of the CG general plan designation is to provide for sites to accommodate commercial uses. The C3 is similar in nature. Neither one specifically talks about trucking. And as also mentioned in the staff report, a use determination is not site specific, but district. It would be applicable citywide in any of the areas that have the same zoning and general plan designations. Here's a little bit about AJR Trucking. I'm sure that they'll go into more detail when they make their presentation. They are a vendor to the United States Post Office. They are a vendor that does transport mail within the Tri-County area. And there's some operational issue. The operational information is on the slide. This is the site plan. Like I said before, this, just to orient you, this is Arrow Camino. This is Hollister Avenue. It's kind of at an angle. They would be using this portion of the site. In the applicant's letter they submitted, they identified four uses outlined under the CG general plan uses, and they're listed here. So building and landscape materials and equipment, building business services, outdoor storage, and public, quasi-public. And then in terms of zoning, these are the three uses that they believe they're similar to. I apologize for how small the map came out. I thought it'd be a little bigger. I know you do have copies of the general plan map in your binder, so if you want to refer to the general plan designations, that would probably be more appropriate. And then again, this is also the zoning map. While the new zoning ordinance has not been adopted, as indicated and as you're well aware, you have spent years working on the NZO, and just at your last meeting did recommend adoption of the NZO to the City Council, and the City Council will be taking that up next week. The general plan designation of the property will not change, but the zoning will, and it will have a new designation called general commercial to align with the general commercial general plan designation. The difference is that there won't be a hyphen. Hyphen designations will be general plan. No hyphens will be zoning. Looking at the uses that are listed, it doesn't appear that it aligns fully with either what's allowed or conditionally allowed. But that's something you can talk about. And, there might be some definitions that we might want to look at in terms of whether it could fit within one of the uses that are outlined. But as mentioned in the staff report, the NZO isn't adopted, so the existing zoning provisions along with the general plan are what are in effect today. Just to give you a little history of the use of the site, this outlines, well, and as in the staff report, the property, and I'm going to go back. Okay. This site, functions as one property, but over the pack and the going back at the looking at the history of it, it actually had three different addresses and three uses. So this building, and if you drew a line that went like this, was one property, and that was 6416, and that was Gerbiano Dairies. Then if you drew a line kind of along here, this was a storage building for Gerbiano Dairies. And then the corner parcel was a gas station. This had an address on Arrow Camino. This also had a Hollister Avenue address. And so this slide summarizes the development that occurred on those three different sites. We have done as much research as we could going through the records that we got from the county. Fortunately, it wasn't very much. They seemed to end in the 80s. So this is what we have as a summary. For uses, there are permits for different structures, but they all seem to end at a certain time period. There is a printout from the county that lists permits. They reference a change of use permit from, I think, the early 90s, but we have no idea what that is. We have no idea. The entire site we know was used by the bus, the STA transport, starting around 2002 up until last year. We do have business licenses on record for them at this location, but we don't have any use permits or anything like that that document how that came to be at that site. So, I should just back up on STA. We learned today that in terms of the hours of operation, I did get some questions from planning commissioners, and one was about the hours of operation on STA. Their dispatch office was in one of those buildings. They would get there about 5:30 in the morning. The first bus would leave about 6:15. Most of the buses would be back on site about 8:30. And then they would do another run, the afternoon run, at 1:30 and be back on site by 4:30. And then they'd be done for the day. And their buses are about 10,000 pounds. So for your consideration tonight is whether or not is the proposed business consistent with what the intent is as outlined in the general plan for the CG designation. Is this also similar in character to the uses identified in the C3 zoning? And then if you want to consider the future CG zoning, and then is this use appropriate in any of those designations throughout the city? So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
So would a ruling in favor of these changes, does that essentially result in a change of general plan table 2.2 on page 7? Or, I guess, more specifically, will it change the description, effectively change the NZO?
Well, Commissioner Miller, if the Planning Commission were to find that this use was allowable at this location, you would need to determine that the use is similar to one of these uses or another one that is in that table listed under the CG.
So it wouldn't be added as another item.
No.
It would be a finding that what we're determining is it's similar to one of these descriptions.
Correct. And then in terms of the NZO, if you were to find it similar to one of the C3, if it's similar in one of these, then we would be looking at adding, probably would be looking at adding it to the NZO. There is There's some nuances in the NZO that we're still trying to figure out.
We didn't make it clear.
I mentioned the staff report, but I didn't mention in my presentation. Staff would recommend against finding that the trucking company is public or quasi-public, because they're only a vendor to the United States Post Office. They're not a public or quasi-public business. They are a private business. So we would make that recommendation. But the other uses, if you were so inclined, those are options.
The one concern I have in this regard is that I thank Commissioner Maynard for getting information about the loading and unloading, because that was my concern. I think that's a major difference in the use that they're going to have here. Without the loading and unloading, it's a significantly different use. In other words, just having trucks come and go is one thing, but if trucks were coming and loading and unloading, that makes a different use. So I guess I just get concerned about the effect of what we decide tonight in terms of application to future applications. I also was pleased to hear about the backing in to avoid backup alarms, living in a location where on occasion we have trucks using those backup alarms at 5 in the morning. It's an important consideration for the, I don't know if you mentioned it, but I guess you did, the Willow Springs residential area is like right there. Mm-hmm. It adjoins there are people who live right there where this will be.
Let's see, Commissioner Sheeler, questions for staff.
Thank you, Chair. I do have several, so please bear with me. Okay. Did the C3 zoning precede the Willow Springs residential project?
No. The city redesignated that property, around 2008. There was a mix of general, going back at the history, there was a mixture of, since the 50s, it's been commercial, it's been MRP, it's been M1, and it's been C3. But in 2008, the city changed it to C3.
Okay. Once Willow Springs was developed, and I'm going to define incompatible uses as potentially noise, light, air pollution, and hours of operation. Once Willow Springs was developed, were potential incompatible uses allowed at any time?
On this site? I'm not quite sure the timing of STA in relationship to Willow Springs 1. I think they were about the same time. I'm not sure which one came first.
So at no point was STA ever considered an incompatible use with Willow Springs?
We probably wouldn't have had an opportunity to make that determination.
Right.
The city.
Chair and Commissioner Sheeler, so we would not have determined whether a use was incompatible with the neighboring use or not necessarily. We would have just made findings of whether it was consistent with the zoning and general plan. And we'd have to go back. I don't know any reason why we would have made a determination about compatibility with Willow Springs.
And I was saying, I think they're both happened about right around 2001, 2002. So I'm not sure, what the thoughts were. I know that Willow Springs 1 was approved in the county before we incorporated.
Can you maybe explain what's the rationale or the importance of a 15,000-pound threshold to define what's light and what's heavy?
Well, the NZO defines it that way, that a light fleet is anything under 15,000 pounds. And so presumably something that's over 15,000 pounds is, heavy fleet or not light fleet. But that's why I was using that break point, was because of how the NZO defines light fleet vehicles.
And a light fleet would be considered to have fewer incompatible uses than a heavy fleet?
I would presume so. And just for reference, a UPS truck is about that 15,000-pound range.
If for whatever reason the applicant agreed to use the new zoning ordinance, Could a CUP be considered?
If the Planning Commission was willing to make a determination that it fit into one of the uses that are allowed in the CG designation, and then it would be subject to whatever the criteria is in the NZO in terms of whether it's a permitted use, a minor CUP, or a CUP use. But that's not what, you know, tonight our discussion should focus on, the regulations that are before you, that are adopted.
So the Planning Commission couldn't put any stipulations on this project in terms of hours of operation or kinds of engines that are being used or the kinds of sound that leaves the property borders?
Yeah, unfortunately, the determination is whether or not the use is appropriate at this location, and conditions of approval we would, if we, depending on the determination and based on what permit path is needed for them, that would be what would be the determining factor of whether we can add conditions as a city to a project.
Are there any other C3 zoned properties and adjacent residential?
I will have to study the map and figure that out for you.
Because potentially this would have implications on these if whatever decision the Planning Commission makes based on the constraints that it's given in its decision making this evening. And if approved, could the entire site be used for heavy trucking? Because
yes.
The entire site's C3. Okay, thank you.
Chair and Commissioners, just to state the what's perhaps obvious, the new zoning ordinance is not yet approved or adopted by the City Council, so it's not in effect yet. And what exactly it provides will depend on the Council's action now. And so it's a little bit hard to, I think, speculate or make determinations about exactly what it will provide.
Commissioner Sheeler. Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, Commissioner Maynard.
Would any of the current uses that we're comparing to allow vehicles over 15,000 pounds?
Possibly. I mean, I'm not sure how much under the contractor equipment storage yard, mm-hmm. What that could entail. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a small bobcat. I don't know how much a mm-hmm. small bobcat or something like that that you can think of that might be an equipment storage yard. Mm-hmm.
Is the 15,000-pound limit defined by the current or the new NZO, the new zoning ordinance?
The new,
okay. One of the things that I was surprised you didn't include in this table was wholesale distribution, and I'm curious, because it has the potentially leaving at late hours of the night, many vehicles, backup beepers, I don't know, some of the concerns that I had about noise and traffic. Was there a reason why you didn't use wholesale distribution as one of the comparable uses?
The uses before you were the ones the applicant identified,
okay.
And we were going with what they proposed.
Okay. Later, when the applicant does comment, I'd be curious for your thoughts on that. Are all of the uses that are listed on the screen permitted by right, or do any of them require a CU, a conditional use permit, or a minor conditional use permit?
The trailer and truck rental use requires a minor conditional use permit. And again, those were the uses that the applicant identified that their use would be similar to.
Okay. Do any of the current uses in this district allow for early hours, or do we have any work restrictions on hours of operation for any of the uses in this area?
I do not believe so. Okay. Let me look at the... No, there are no performance standards for this zoning district.
And that's all my questions for the moment.
And
oh, yeah?
No, if I may, I can respond to Commissioner Sheeler's comment. The C3 zoning district is located in Old Town. It's the area below the, you know, the row of businesses that are on the south side of old of Hollister. It's all of the commercials area south of Hollister that's not designated Old Town, and there are some residential districts in that area. And then also C3 is along Kellogg, south of where Winslow is, to where it gets to the industrial. So at least looking at the small map, that's what I can identify.
And so just to make sure I'm clear, if we make a determination tonight on this land use, on the zoning and similar uses, the question of permitting would still be to be determined?
Yes. I mean, if you let us know what designation combination you believe it fits in, then we can go forward and figure out the permit path.
Yeah, Commissioner Maynard?
I was inquiring a similar question with Director Imhoff, and I believe also, if I'm understanding this correctly, what we compare it to matters. So if we compare it to a permitted use, then my understanding is it would become a permitted by right use. If we compare it to something that requires a minor conditional use, it would require a minor conditional use. Can the staff tell me if I got that wrong?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, thank you, that's helpful. Commissioner Fuller.
So that was also one of my questions I wanted to clarify. If we consider this a similar use to one that's currently allowed, we lose the right to condition it unless it's a use that already requires a conditional use permit. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Right.
Well, yes.
Yeah, okay. And also, STA never received a zoning clearance from the city, as far as you know.
As far as I know, but it's possible they got something.
What, from the county?
Could have been from the county, because, I mean, we became a city in February of 2002. Don't know if they, you know, got in before we became a city. Also, our records, you know, we're getting better on our record keeping.
As far as we know, there's never been a anything more than a business license, which doesn't require any compliance with zoning necessarily, unless somebody makes a complaint.
Correct.
Right. So they could have been operating there, non-conforming, but not legal either, with nobody worried about it. And
correct.
Right. And not unapproved non-conforming uses, uses that don't have a history of being legal as receiving zoning approvals are not allowed to continue. Is that correct?
If we've made a determination that they're non-conforming, it's possible they were conforming. Our records just aren't that, we're just lacking records to determine their status.
If this requires a, was the zoning C3 when these people, STA was there?
Cannot speak definitively to what it was when we incorporated.
Right.
But I do know that in 2008, the city changed the zoning and the general plan designation on the property from an industrial general plan and an M1 zoning to C3. Whether or not those were the designations in place when they went in, I haven't been able to research that deeply today.
Okay, well, that brings up another point then. If it was M1 and it's changed to C3, the uses are not intended to continue. Uses that were allowed under M1 are not intended to be continued into C3 when we change the zoning. Is that correct?
If the use was established, if we change the zoning on a property and you've got a use there and it was illegally established, you can continue. But when the idea is that over the long term, the non-conforming uses will go away and the conforming uses will eventually be established.
Okay. So new uses would have to conform to the new zoning. And for that reason, that's an important question. So in your determination tonight, it's interesting historical background information whether or not the prior use was permitted and legal, but it's not directly relevant to your determination. Your determination is really just comparing the proposed use with the list of allowable uses to see whether they're the same or not, and you can make the other findings.
Okay. So I have one more question.
Can I jump in as a clarification on that last point? Is that okay?
Sure.
But isn't there two determinations we're making tonight? Sort of one is it a comparable use to one of those? But are we also making a determination about legal nonconforming tonight? Because okay, because that's I think where
right, and that's what I wanted to emphasize. So that's relevant background information, but it's not directly relevant to your determination.
Well, it's not what we're considering tonight with whether it's. We're not making a judgment on that. We're
correct.
Only making a judgment as to whether it's a similar use to one that's already allowed.
That's right.
Right. Okay. So my last question is there anywhere and specifically in the zoning code or in the, you know, that allows heavy truck terminals in the city of Goleta?
Currently, the M1 allows for, I think it was something called drain truck terminals, M1 and the MS Goleta zonings, which have M1 zone has IG general plan, mm-hmm. and the MS Goleta has the service industrial general plan.
So we currently have land that is zoned for this type of operation where they could do it by right?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions for staff from commissioners at this time?
On the zoning map, March 2019, which is attachment 6, the property going north along, I always forget the name of the street,
Camino.
Is that M1?
It is.
So the only between the railroad tracks and Hollister, that strip, the only property that's not M1 is the subject property.
Correct. And like I mentioned, in 2008, there was a zone change in general plan amendment that changed it from M1 to CG and C3.
Thank you.
Any other questions at this time? Okay. We'll go ahead and proceed. Do we have a... Yeah, we'll open up to public forum. I understand we likely have comments and input from our applicant. So if our applicant would like to come forward.
Hi, John Kuykendall with Dudek, agent for AGR. I'm going to give a brief little summary, some background information, and Zach Breeze with AGR will give a little bit of the operational of the use, and then Brown Froling is here representing the property owner and give a little bit. But one of the things I wanted to, I think is really important is some of the history of the property, how it was originally created. Back in the 1960s, that was part of a 22-lot subdivision, and it was called the Santa Barbara Industrial Tract, and it was all up and down the entire both sides of Arroyo Camino. And it was all zoned M1, industrial. So it had a list of all those uses that you were talking about earlier that are kind of far-ranging, which would include distribution, manufacturing, things of that. And that's what the property was originally developed to be. So we did provide some historical aerials, but if you look at the aerials over time, when it was really originally developed, it had up front for Durbriano Dairy, it's processing plant, and then the back was where all their distribution trucks were. And it's been like that since day one, as far as that type of use. The type of dairy, the name has changed 4 or 5 times, all the way up until what I understand up until the 2000s when STA, the student transportation use, moved in and took occupancy of the site. As for if a permit was allowed or required, it's not if it, it was, it's a county and a city rule if it's a like for like use or determined to be an expressly permitted use. You didn't need a land use permit, but you would need a business license or a building permit if you're going to be doing any improvements. And then speaking of the business license, I know the city is now trying to catch up on how those are typically implemented, but when you get a business license, there's supposed to be a kind of a zoning and a plan check on that to make sure the use and where it's at is the right, is it matches. Mm-hmm. So I was looking at that, and SDA's been there since probably when the county was still in charge, and Lisa's correct that the historical records on that handoff when the city was incorporated wasn't probably the most efficient handoff. So there's, we see it a lot of properties in the city where the historical record isn't quite complete. So you have to kind of, what we've done is went back to historical areas, everything we could. We went back to phase one studies to kind of just track the history of the site. And that's how we came up with where it's historically been this milk manufacturing wholesale distribution in the back portion, which is what we're proposing to utilize. The front portion had, at one time, I think it had a dairy stop or a fast stop, and it kind of changed a few times, and I believe that in 94 was part of that one change in use permit. The county has no information on it, but it was something on the front part of the property, because if you look at the aerials right after 94 when it was issued, nothing changed in the back. It all stayed the same. You still see the trucks being there for the distribution. So, but in the last 2 years, I guess the city has now been a little bit more adamant about checking business licenses, but we don't know if they checked, you know, to confirm on STA. But we believe STA was under the, even under the M1, if you go back to when it was originally created, this whole corridor was M1, and so those uses never stopped on the site. So under legal nonconforming, I don't know, that was one of the things I didn't know why the staff board didn't have like a C for legal nonconforming or just one more option, because we felt when we first came to the city with this that it kind of fell into the legal nonconforming aspect, because it's always been under that type of use distribution and it never ceased. So the legal nonconforming rules, if it doesn't cease for a period of 12 consecutive months, you never lose, that owner would never lose that ability to maintain those uses that were originally zoned for or developed for. So the property's always been used that way. So that's why probably STA moved in, didn't need a permit, operated for nearly 16 to 18 years. And that's where we're looking to utilize the back part of the property for their trucks that, again, are just, they're not, there's no loading or unloading. There's, it's just for parking, and there's two shifts. The one that's more sensitive, we did come up with some operational procedures. One of them is where during the day shift when they come in, they would all be backed in during the early evening hours, so you don't hear the beeping. So when they do depart, all the trucks that depart in the early morning hours would be on the furthest east away from the Willow Springs. And the Willow Springs has one residential apartment, and then the rest of it that abuts the property in back are carports. Then you get further back, you have another building. But on our property, there's also a single-story building that is directly adjacent to the apartment building. So it kind of provides a noise buffer, definitely for the first floor, but you do have a little bit of line of sight where you could have some noise. But so what we did to address that is we prepared we had in staff a noise analysis done. I'm not sure how I should distribute that. It was actually determined that the trucks operate on the site, the starting up, moving, and leaving early in the morning based on their distribution of leaving at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., would not generate any noises above city thresholds, so above 45 decibels at night. But they'd have to be, only the trucks that could move are over in the farthest east during that time. So we kind of created a little map that shows this area could not be utilized for early morning departures. Mm-hmm. Only this area here, because you get the buffer with the building and distance. So the noise would be between 40 and 41 decibels is what our noise specialists came up with. Let me think what else was. 1 second. Oh, on the wholesale distribution, why we didn't include it. It was part of our original non-conforming, and it didn't seem to be going anywhere. So we were looking for what else could it fit under, and that's when we were looking at the contractor yard, because you got excavators out there as well, and those are pretty heavy, technically. But most of their trucks, their box trucks are 15,000. Those are the typical covered ones. And then they have the cabs. They're just the cabs of an 18-wheeler. 18-wheelers wouldn't be on the site. Those are a little bit more in weight. So if there was an issue with the size of the exceeding 15,000, AGR would be willing just to use the box trucks there and not use the cabs if that was an issue. But also we would do this operational setup to make sure that we don't impact the it's actually two rooms up top, the two three-bedroom units up there, to make sure there's no nuisance noise. So, maybe that's it for right now. I'll turn it over to Zach, so he can provide a little bit more background on AGR and how their operations, and then available for Q&A. Okay, thank you.
Good evening, Madam Chair, Commissioners. My name is Zach Rise, Vice President of Operations for AGR Trucking. A little bit of context about AGR. Family owned and operated for 30 years now. We're headquartered in Compton, California. We have one customer, the U.S. Postal Service. We operate in Los Angeles, City of Industry, Santa Ana, Goleta, Fresno, Petaluma, and we also operate in the states of Washington, Oregon, through Arizona and New Mexico. So we're a proud supplier to the U.S. Postal Service. We are a addition outside of the city of Goleta. We have a large alternative fuel fleet, including natural gas tractors. To familiarize yourself, those are lower emission vehicles than a typical diesel tractor. We're actually the first company in the United States to buy the near zero emission tractors. So we have 40 natural gas trucks running in our fleet today. Our fleet in total is 150. We're looking to deploy that to every area that is feasible. So to do that, we worked closely with the South Coast Air Quality Management District, the Bay Area Air Quality Management District. We've engaged the Air District in Santa Barbara, San Joaquin. So we are actively involved in alternative fuels and cleaning the air. We are a heavy-duty vehicle operator, and fuel is a major concern for us, but so is cleaning the air and being environmentally friendly. In terms of our operation here in Goleta, intent for this location is proximity to our customer, the post office off of 400 Stork. Naturally, the closer we get, the fewer miles that we're putting on the streets in Goleta. Our area of operation, we service up to Paso Robles, and as far south as Santa Clarita. So we're bringing mail from the Goleta plant, which is the hub, out to the spokes, the smaller offices, into other larger plants so they can be distributed from there. And we bring the mail back to Goleta so it can be distributed out to the local offices here. To echo the point, we do not load or unload anywhere other than a postal facility, period. Doesn't happen. We're not allowed to carry the mail anywhere outside of on our route to and from a postal facility, I'd imagine. Our drivers, in terms of their time in the yard, whether it's this location or any other, they get to the yard, they have 15 minutes to do a pre-trip inspection for safety, make sure everything's operational and roadworthy, and then they are off to their first stop. And they come back at the end of their shift. Typically, the mail goes out to the offices in the morning, and when the letter carriers come back from your house to your local post office, we pick that mail up and bring it back to the plant. So operationally, that's just kind of how that works. Again, we subcontract. We're the prime contractor in the city of Goleta. So we own the prime contract, the service out of the city of Goleta's plant. We subcontract to local businesses. Around five other small businesses that have been servicing the city of Goleta for many years. And so we use their services. Our intent is to have our own fleet along with their trucks to park at this yard so we can concentrate the fleet, reduce miles overall on the streets of Goleta. Obviously, it reduces our operational cost with a reduction of miles, but it's a more efficient operation in that regard.
I had a quick question. Can you clarify? So during the shift, so you mentioned no loading or unloading. So there wouldn't be reason for the drivers to be coming back and forth to the site during the shift. Is that correct?
Absolutely, that's correct.
I have a question. What do you do maintenance on the vehicles?
We use third parties for our maintenance. It's not uncommon that the yards where we park at prefer us not, or it's not legal to do maintenance at those yards. So Donahue is down in Oxnard. We do a lot of our service, believe it or not. Ryder Leasing, Penske Leasing. We have our own yard down in Compton, so if it's heavy, they need to be brought down there. But certainly, we do that also. But we use third parties to do our maintenance.
So you don't do there won't be any maintenance performed on at this site?
That's correct. Drivers are checking for air pressure. Windshield wipers are working. Lights are on. Yeah. Replace a bulb, but there is no maintenance done in the yard.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Thanks for your time. My name is Brad Froling. I work with a company called the Radius Group, and I'm one of the partners and have been there for about 20 years just working locally with commercial uses. Just on a broad level, looking at this, because I'm the listing agent on the property, we could fill the property up tomorrow with any one of those uses in smaller capacities. The owner doesn't want to have 10 or 12 landscapers. It's a dire, dire need in Goleta for yard storage, contractor storage, building materials. If you go around the M1 zones, which you can count on one hand, Kellogg, Pine, Thornwood, Aero Camino, you will not find a for lease sign on anything that has yard. There might be a little building with no parking. So we're out of space. AGR has been looking for years. And then I'll jump into what I was just going to share and then answer any questions if you have any. So as John said, this is a bit redundant. The 1.3 acre site was originally developed in the 60s as part of the 22 lot subdivision. The intent was industrial and commercial uses, and including manufacturing distribution uses and a commercial parking lot, and that have occupied the site for over half a century. We believe the contemplated use with AGR is much less impactful and less unsightly than a bus terminal, for instance, a lumber yard, building material storage, contractors, equipment storage yard, and it seems unreasonable that a commercial delivery transportation use is being challenged as an allowable use on this site. Because the zoning is silent and doesn't specify trucks, every industrial use, there's a roll-up door in the back of this building, roll-up doors. Trucks come and they go. So every industrial use, if you go to an Aero Camino, the entire site is trucks. Across the street's trucks on the corner. This site's been trucks since this is a 1967 map from our phase one report when the property was sold. There's trucks in that picture, and by the way, there's no apartments next door. This property predates the apartments next door by 50 years. When the developer, the Tobes Group, built these buildings, they projected their rents to be less because their building and the city planning allowed apartments right next to a precious industrial zone, which we're short of. And by the way, industrial, while it's not pretty, it's not always attractive, it's what makes a town work. If you don't have industrial, you don't have a town. So it has to go somewhere. So I've been, compared to the other uses that could go here, this outcome with AJR, the fact that they're such a responsible operator, is a home run outcome, because I'll be tasked, if this doesn't happen, to then field the smaller tenants that are bullseyes on these non-restrictive uses. But the implication, just like the ocean goes with the beach, you have a roll-up door, you have ground-level parking in an industrial commercial zone, trucks go there. So to me, I'm a bit frustrated or challenged, and we had a deal with them, a lease deal, in January of 2019. So here we are in October. The owner's been sitting vacant. The owner doesn't want to do anything else in the city. He's out of the state right now. He doesn't want to make any more investments here, which isn't good for our community. We want people to want to invest in our community and improve properties because of this being so arduous. So now we're talking about noise and apartments next door, which we predate by over half a century. We're being sensitive to noise, but you can see the frustration. So here we are in October. The message sent to the business community is this, that it's very difficult to do business here in Goleta. And I live in Santa Barbara. I do a lot of business in Goleta, and up and down around this corridor, I could name dozens of companies that I've helped move and assisted. And this is an example that people look at and are very frustrated with. So I jumped from my notes, but I think you, the other thing too, that we've also been withholding AJR from operating here, which is also, there's a vital job sector that comes with the industrial sector. So again, great operator, great site. It's been buses. Don Kissel of STA, the only reason that they moved down the street was to consolidate and get a little bit less rent. They looked for 3 years to find a place to put buses, and we found an unlisted place, and it was a miracle that we found a place to land the buses because I helped them with that use as well. So there is no shortage of demand for these industrial uses in Goleta. We're out of them on land for this sort of use, and AGR, in my opinion, is a great outcome on this street. And if I can answer any questions, I'm happy to do so.
Thank you. Do any commissioners have any questions of the applicant? Okay. Do commissioners have any? Oh, Commissioner Sheeler?
Just for staff.
Oh, questions for staff, certainly.
Thank you, Chair. Just one question here. Kind of getting to the root of this. How can Goleta ensure no loading, unloading, backup beeping during non-business hours on all C3 zone properties with adjacent residential? This is an agreement that we've heard about at this meeting that they're willing to do this, but once this is agreed upon, then how can Goleta apply that same construct to all C3 zone properties with adjacent residential so that everybody benefits from that same outcome?
Well, two things that come to mind are, one, make this type of use, and I'm just talking in general, something that's subject to a conditional use permit, because we, with a conditional use permit, we can look at and evaluate the context of the project and apply appropriate conditions of approval. The other would be to look at the zoning and create performance standards that would be applicable to property and to developments. Those would be the two ideas that I have that, if, for what you're saying, could be done citywide or zone-wide. And I don't know if Mr. Imhoff has anything else that it comes to his mind.
Chair and Commissioners, I agree with what Ms. Prossy said, and I would just add that, of course, what is before the Commission tonight is not any kind of a retooling of the available of the applicable zoning here, but rather simply the determination of whether the proposed use is of similar character to one of the listed uses. And if we needed, if we wanted to go beyond that, that would most likely involve a zoning amendment.
I think Commissioner Maynard and then others.
Forgive me for a second. I'll quickly refer to the new zoning ordinance, but only to clarify what the current zoning ordinance says. So in the new zoning ordinance, it does create a distinction between heavy vehicle and large equipment sales, rental, service, and repair, and that requires a conditional use permit, where some of these other types that we're looking at require permitting. Is in the current zoning, where would heavy vehicle and large equipment sales and rentals be? Would that require permitting or conditional use? I didn't see that as a separated type in the current zoning, but it's harder to navigate the current zoning than the new zoning, so. Take your time. I realize that's a complicated question to find. I appreciate that.
So you're looking for sales or?
Well, so we've talked a lot about the 15,000 pound vehicles, which I know the company, the applicant before us, is willing to restrict that. But if we're making a decision that affects all such types across all CG, then we still have to consider what it would be without that offer that the applicant has made. And there is a separated category for heavy vehicle and large equipment sales and rental. So it seems like we've been thinking about this 15,000 pound limit and separating that from other types of uses with a higher permitting process. So there was some thought around that. And I'm not sure if we have that type of thinking in the current zoning ordinance.
In the current zoning ordinance, there is, like in the Emmaus-Goleta, it does allow trailer, automobile, and truck rentals, and vehicle parking and storage lots, automobile, which in parentheses says automobile, bus, truck, and cab, but those, that's a permitted use. And then in the M1, also as a permitted use, it talks about what I was saying, draying, freighting, or truck yard or terminal in the M1 right now. Okay. But those are permitted uses without any restrictions.
But that would be permitted in M1, which, though earlier on there was an intention for this space to be M1, that intention changed, and there was a decision by the city to switch it to CG. And so if the closest determination is M1 and it is not currently M1, that seems to stand out to me as an issue.
And then if you're the M1, if you look in the new zoning code, where you're the heavy vehicle, large equipment, sales, rental, service, and repair is a permitted use in both the IG and the IS, which is reflective of what it is today in the Emmaus-Goleta and the M1 zone.
But this space is no longer that.
Correct.
And the intention of the city was to change it from MI to CG.
Remember when I mentioned the nuance? We were looking, outdoor storage is listed in the CG, and the definition could be, you might want to look at the definition in the...
So I have that. I happen to have printed it out. Outdoor storage yard, storage of vehicles, goods, or materials in open lots, includes facilities for the storage and or servicing of fleet vehicles. But it does not clarify light versus heavy fleet.
No. And the only place where light is defined is in the definition of light fleet vehicles.
Okay, do commissioners have any other questions for staff at this time? If not, we'll move into deliberation. Yes, thank you. I'll go ahead and close the public hearing, and we'll move into deliberation. Comments, thoughts from commissioners? Commissioner Fuller.
Yeah, I guess, it was originally zoned M1. It's now on a street that has a considerable amount of traffic, which is more relevant to more retail or customer-oriented uses. So it makes a lot of sense that this should ultimately develop in that direction at some point in time, maybe when they have water again. They can do something with it that would be more in the commercial, like customer-oriented use rather than an industrial use. And we do have provisions in the zoning code, and there are areas, whether somebody wants to give them up right now or whether they, everybody wants to keep them because they're here, there are areas that are zoned for this particular type of use without, it's permitted by right. So I'm just not seeing a lot of reason to go and change this and then give everybody else also in these districts the same right. The fact, when you talk about Willow Springs growing up next to the M1 properties, there's houses in Santa Barbara Shores that were built not very far from the Elwood oil and gas processing facility, which predated all those homes, but which, the oil and gas processing facility is going. And the homes are staying. So a commercial use would likely be something that the people in those neighborhoods would find more acceptable than, large trucks being using the facility.
Commissioner Sheeler.
Thank you, Chair. One of the overarching things that I look for when I turn to the general plan is for guidance, and one of them talks about one of the things that stated in the general plan is to ensure appropriate buffers and transitions to adjacent neighborhoods. Well, unfortunately for this property, there is an adjacent neighborhood. And interesting to hear that Willow Springs reduced rents next to the non-conforming, non-approved STA. for me, I'm not going to be able to make a finding that a truck terminal proposed use is similar to uses allowed in the C3, such as sales, rental, and storage. I cannot make a finding that this use would be compatible with residential, and I worry about a future precedent and the fact that there's other C3 and other residential. And it seems like I understand the dilemma that the applicant is in this situation, not of their own choosing. And this is just one of the bits of debris that's left that's here in Goleta's zoning and general plan, and hope that maybe, and I know this is difficult because very little industrial manufacturing is available in Goleta, but to me that seems to be more appropriate than to be making a wholesale change in order to fit the needs of one applicant.
Commissioner Maynard?
I'm incredibly impressed by this applicant. In terms of the willingness,
is your microphone
you have,
on?
Oh, sorry, turned the wrong button. I'm incredibly impressed by this applicant in terms of the conditions you're willing to put forward to assist with neighborhood compatibility, to work with the neighbors, to work with the city and with the area. I was really excited by a lot of your operational measures that would make this project potentially fit into the neighborhood. And I think if we were here talking about just this project, or we had an opportunity to have a conditional use permit here where we could integrate some of those conditions, my response would be very different, because I think you're doing all of the right things. And I think that may actually make this more frustrating than anything else. But I have to think about what we're making a decision on today. You've made some interesting arguments that would help inform a determination about whether it's appropriate to have legal nonconforming or not. But as I understand it, we're not making that decision today, so I'll hold off on comments regarding whether that's appropriate. There are some things here as we're looking through this. The history is important, and I think more important for thinking about whether this is legal nonconforming or not. The history is less important than the current designation for whether this is appropriate in the space today, because the city did go through the process to engage the community to think about what this should be zoned as. And there's a lot of pros and cons to whether this should be M1 or whether this should be general commercial, but through the city process, it was decided that this would be commercial general. And I think if we were going to change that, we would need to change that rather than trying to make make it go back to M1 without actually doing a general plan amendment or a zoning ordinance amendment. There are some different things about this project that I note: the early morning hours, the potential for the 15,000 pounds. There's some overlap. One of the things that stands out to me is that, well, both, there's the closest determination is already in the M1 jurisdiction, which is the one that Commissioner Fuller had highlighted for us. In the new zoning ordinance, there's a separation of heavy vehicles versus lighter vehicles. So there is some thinking around that. One requires a CU, one requires a permit. This is sort of halfway in between those two in some ways. And that, I think, makes it hard for me to make a comparable use argument today. I have to go back to what's going to be best for the city as a whole, because we're making a decision that would affect multiple properties and multiple applicants and not just one applicant, as impressed as I am with this applicant. And I think we will also raise some concerns about maintenance and loading, unloading. And if we approve this today, though this applicant is not doing maintenance and not doing loading, unloading, if we approve this, does that then mean that the next applicant could? I think those are the issues that it feels like there's too much that's specific to the applicant to expand it across the district. So I would argue for not making it consistent with current uses.
Commissioner Fuller.
Yeah, I just want to comment. Yeah, the city spent a considerable amount of time putting together the general plan. I believe it was several years, if I'm not mistaken. And so there was plenty of time for the owner to, and I don't know, maybe he did give input as to wanting this to stay M1 or not, but you know, that would have been the time if that's what they wanted to make that known. And, you know, even when we're doing our zoning ordinance, could have showed up here and, you know, said, you know, we want this M1. We don't want it C3 anymore. And they can still, you know, come and ask for this property to be M1 if that's the use that they want to have on it. And then we'll have, you know, the public input again and see if that's appropriate, you know, in the context of our city. But, you know, notwithstanding that, I don't see making this finding. Yeah.
Commissioner Maynard.
One other thing I forgot to mention, going back to the general plan for a moment, LU 3.7, the general commercial definition, does have a D component to that. Heavy commercial uses that may cause noise, air emissions, hazardous materials, or excessive light and glare shall require approval of a conditional use permit. Does heavy equipment count as heavy commercial uses? There is a potential noise issue. Again, if we generalize it and we're not having the conditions that we can't put in today, that I think this applicant would be okay with the types of conditions we would introduce in a conditional use permit, but we're not comparing it to something that would require a conditional use permit. And so we lose that opportunity as we try to, again, expand this across the district. So that also gives us a hint in the general plan of where it may be inconsistent as well.
When the new zoning ordinance is adopted, there may even be an opportunity for them to come and get a CUP. So it's just, this isn't the right avenue at this time, in my opinion.
I concur with the comments of my fellow commissioners.
Yeah, I'm particularly persuaded by Commissioner Maynard's comments. I do appreciate the applicant's effort to be considerate of the residential neighbors, but I'm more concerned about the precedent this establishes in terms of C3 uses, and I don't see any really comfortable comparable uses, so I'm most worried about how this affects future considerations.
So do I have a motion?
I would like to make a motion to determine that a trucking business with a dispatch office use is not similar to the CG general plan uses and the enumerated uses in the inland C3 zone.
Any further comment? Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed or abstentions? I see none. Thank you, commissioners. And I want to thank the applicant and thank staff for bringing this before us for consideration. So thank you. Let's see. We'll move to our next agenda item. Let's see, item C, which is our director's report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a brief report this evening. First, I wanted to remind the council and the public that next week, on November 5th, the council will conduct the first reading of the new zoning ordinance that was recommended by this commission. Then on November 18th, we will hold a planning commission meeting here again in the evening as scheduled. And we anticipate we will also have an item on December 9th for our regular planning commission meeting.
I just wanted to alert the commission that I believe I'm unavailable for the December meeting.
When is the next one? November?
November 18th.
Oh, November 18th. Yeah, I'll be here for that.
Special.
Oh, yeah. I will not be here on November 18th.
Cookies and milk.
With only three commissioners, is there any way we can delay the item?
Oh, I'll be here in November, just not December.
Okay, so those are two different ones. Okay.
Any other comments from commissioners on scheduling? Okay. Thank you for that report. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Seconded.
I'll take a motion from Commissioner Fuller and a second. A motion from Commissioner Fuller and a second from Vice Chair Miller. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you, everybody.